Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good afternoon to you and welcome to TalkSport's weekly look at all the stories from the world of cricket and more specifically the IPL. We're into the third week of the competition at match number 19 out of the 56 round robin games, so things are starting to take shape after the weekend's double headers kicked in. The former England fast bowler Steve Harmison is alongside myself Andrew McKenna once again as we cast our eyes over things. The former Indian spinner Pragan Ojha will be joining us to take a look at the impact that spin is having in this year's tournament, and we'll also be hearing from the Rajasthan Royals and England keeper batsman Joss Butler. We'll examine how the other English players in the competition are getting on over the course of the next hour as well. It's the IPL show here on TalkSport 2.
Noise bobbling. Let's get the taxi driver to this one. The double R's, they end on 154 for six.
That is very close to Virat Kohli's pitch. Extremely good from Virat Kohli.
And he just finds a gap before RCB win yet another game.
But if you get it wrong, it can go really wrong. Rabada has been hit for three sixes in a row. And Morgan is now saying, somebody stop me. And there it is. Nearly close it out. The Capitals have played nicely.
Slows that one up. Uses his feet, Quinton de Kock. Gets to the pitch and says, I'll have some of you now.
The first 50 of this Dream 11 IPL.
Kunal Pandya, my goodness. Four balls, 20 runs, two sixes, two fours. Thank you very much. What a finish to the innings.
Glad batted that one. It's a good result. And 50 for David Warner.
Superb from the Mumbai Indians. They comfortable victors over the Sunrisers Hyderabad by 34 runs here in Sharjah.
Nice, 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 nice. Way to go to 50.
He's hit it well enough for six. Six more to Nicholas Puran.
Kings 11 have got a decent total with 178 for four.
Gone! Lovely way to get to a half century. It's taken some time coming, but it's come at a very, very crucial juncture for the CSK team.
Another half century for Faf du Plessis.
Cracking Super Kings. Du Plessis, Watson, ensuring that CSK get back on track.
Yeah, very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. It's been a cracking weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed Mark Nicholas doing his impression for if the Fast Show ever gets remade once again. And it's been another belting weekend that means that we have three sides level on 6 points at the top of the IPL table. The Mumbai Indians are leading the way as it stands. Now, they've played five, won three and lost two for their 6 points. It's then the Delhi Capitals and the RCB, both on 6 points as well, but they have identical records, have played four, won three, lost one. However, it is Delhi against the RCB today in Dubai. Therefore, the winner will go top. And more of that later on. KKR are in fourth. They, along with the Rajasthan Royals, the Super Kings and the Sunrisers, all have 4 points. And then it's the Kings 11 Punjab, bottom of the table, with just one win from their five games so far. And at the moment, it is not looking good for the Kings 11 Punjab. That is the way of the world. Steve Harmison is with us as normal here on the IPL show. Harmy, it's a great competition this year. Nobody's getting blown away, and apart from the Kings 11, no one's really getting tailed off either.
Exactly, yeah. It's been brilliant. Good afternoon, Macca. It's been another fascinating week. It started, you know, this time last week, sitting waiting for the game, the Royal Challengers. We said it was going to be a humdinger of a game, a bit like what we've got this afternoon in RCB against Delhi, with a tied game, both sides getting 201, and the week just got better and better. And you mentioned the Kings 11 there. They've only got 2 points from five games. When you sort of delve deep in and you look in the stats on it, the highest run scorer is from Kings 11. You know, top scorer in the tournament is from Kings 11. They seem to be getting runs. They just don't seem to be getting runs quick enough. And I think the big question is for the management of the Kings 11 and the coaching staff is, do they go and try and get somehow, try and get Chris Gayle into their team?
Well, I mean, there is a question, isn't there? Mm. I mean, you certainly get something, but how much do you have to give up to get him in there? And that will be a trade-off. And you have to wonder, if they were genuinely believed in that option, wouldn't Chris Gayle have been playing anyway?
You'd think so, but when you look at it, you've got Kirill, Agarwal, Mandeep Singh at the top, you know, 1, 2 and 3. The scoring, you know, quite well, to be fair, in runs accumulated, but are they scoring the runs quick enough? You know, Kale Rowell is leading run scorer in the tournament, but I think his strike rate is only about 110. Agarwal had a fantastic start. You've got Nicholas Puran, Glenn Maxwell, Chris Jordan and Sheldon Cottrell as their four overseas players. Can they maybe take out Cottrell and stick Gayle in at the top, let him loose, but then yeah, Maxwell then comes in at number six. So you know, you're trying to fiddle around and trying to find a formula when you are bottom of the table. But if you've got Chris Gayle on the sideline and you're not scoring runs quick enough, I don't think there's many better options than the big fella.
Yeah, I think that you might not even need to be Jared Kimber and a stats expert to maybe roll the dice on that one. Now, one thing I did want to talk about on today's programme was his Kohliness, Virat yeah. Kohli. Finally made some runs in this year's tournament in the game against the Rajasthan Royals. But the thing that struck me about it was, now, I know it was a low total they were chasing. You know, they weren't having to go for 230 or whatever. So he could play in this way. But the fact of the matter was, he was in a bit of a funk. It wasn't really making runs. But what he did was just go back to playing proper basic cricket. Now, he's not a thrasher at the best of times, but he played a few balls out. He had a few dot balls. He pushed ones, and then when he started to feel that it was coming back, then he played some bigger shots. And actually, to me, it was really interesting, because how many players have we seen down the years? They're out of touch, they're out of timing, and what they do is they just end up hacking. I mean, if you want to go back, let's look at Hashim Amla in the T20 Blast final last night.
Yeah.
Looked horribly out of touch, and in the end, took one for the team, got himself out. Now, Virat Kohli, as I say, different character, and I will openly say, different circumstances. He had the time to push it around, but it did seem just spending time in the middle made such a difference to him.
Absolutely, and you mentioned a word there, Macca, and touch. Virat Kohli is a touch player. He's not somebody that, you know, loses his shape too many times trying to sort of, you know, break his back to try and hit sixes and fours. He does it with timing, he does it with style, he does it with touch. And sometimes players like that, you're looking in England terms, you look like a Michael Vaughan or an Ian Bell. You know, they're not like Kevin Peterson, who can just sort of run down a wicket and thrash it everywhere. It is about timing, it is about touch, and sometimes them players do take that little bit longer. Bear in mind, India haven't played a great deal of cricket, so I'd imagine as much as Virat's probably had loads of nets, time in the middle was something he needed. And watching him bat the other day, yes, he had time to, you know, build an innings and, you know, a modest total to chase, but it looked as though he was just having a middle practice. I think Danny Morrison mentioned it out in the middle, and he said this could be the best thing for Virat Kohli and for the RCB in this tournament, that he's just having middle practice out there. He doesn't look as though he's getting out of second gear. And then once he got to 50, he came down a wicket elegantly and hit, I think he hit a beautiful shot off Tom Curran straight back past him. And when you see him do that, his timing is there because he's getting to the pitch of the he's getting to the pace of the pitch. He's come down the wicket to get to the pitch of the ball, and he's not hitting it, trying to hit it too hard. Just breezed it back past him, and you're looking at that and you think, right, this could be the start of something special for the IPL, because no matter what team you support, when you watch somebody with the time and elegance that Virat Kohli's got, you have to just admire, whether you support RCB or you don't. So from a neutral watching, he could be back to where he was a couple of years ago when he got, I think, 300s in a tournament. This could be just the sort of kickstart he needed.
Well, Simon Kattich said afterwards he thought it was inevitable that Kohli would make a score in the end.
The way we've seen it, we don't look at Virat being out of form at all. I mean, we see him batting in the nets, and we thought he looked magnificent in the first game. Unfortunately, you know, hold out in that one, and then he missed out a couple of times, and that can happen in T20. But I think what helped was he got us over the line in that super over. Great shot to finish the game there against Mumbai, and he's carried on from there. And, you know, what we see in the nets from training to training is someone that's super professional. He's looked like he's timing the ball beautifully, and he works so hard at his game that it was only a matter of time before he got runs in the middle. And it was just great to see him get out there today, control that chase, which we know he does so well, and hopefully now that'll kickstart the rest of his IPL.
Steve Harmison, there's an interesting comparison when we hear Simon Kattich talking about Virat Kohli, and that is with Kane Williamson. Now, in fairness, the Sunrisers aren't having the best time of it, with only two wins from their five so far. Kane Williamson has only played three of those games, but has only scored 53 runs. He's quite a similar player to Virat Kohli. So you wonder how they get the best out of Kane Williamson. I mean, that might be a case, And this will go, kind of go against the grain somewhat, for actually sticking him at the top of the order, maybe with David Warner, and saying to Johnny Bairstow, maybe you go down to three, because maybe Kane Williamson just needs that little bit more time to kick his season off. Or do you say, no, actually, we can't afford to split up Bairstow and Warner, because those are about the two things that are anywhere near working for us?
Yeah, I think you keep Warner and Bairstow going at the top. I think they've done fantastically well so far. Johnny's not far from having a big score in this tournament. I think there's 100 round the corner for Johnny Bairstow very, very soon. He seems to be, you know, he's getting himself into some good positions and then finds a way of getting out. When you're doing that, there is a big score around the corner for, and fingers crossed from an English point of view that Johnny does get that. Why doesn't he just bat three? I can't understand why. I think, is it Manish Pandya bats at three? I think they try and build around him at number three. He's the sort of the anchor that sort of glues it all together. If he's like that, then what do you need Kane Williamson for? Well, you need Kane Williamson because he's one of the best players in the world. So, and actually, that is his job. So, for me, you either move Pandya down the order, or you remove him out of the team, or, you know, they might even have to turn around and think, well, as the tournament's going on, there seems to be more, the wickets are getting a little bit drier, whether the spin option comes in, and they might have to go back to the sort of the Afghanistan spin double act in Nabi and Rashid Khan, and then Kane Williamson would probably miss out. But I think if he's in the team, he should be batting three. And I struggle when, scratch my head a little bit when I watch Sunrisers, because the game plan is crash bang wallop at the top, and then you've got two guys coming in at three and four who haven't got a very good, as good a strike rate. So I think they might have to split them up. Kane Williamson to three, and that would be a formidable top order of Warner, Bairstow and Williamson. So there's some, again, when you're at the bottom end, Macca, the teams from sort of outside the sort of qualification for the quarter, the semi-final places, you do scratch your head and you think, well, what can I do? What can I change? We talked about last week, Chennai Super Kings, when they've got an aging side. Aside, Dwayne Bravo wasn't playing. They brought him back in the team. They weren't getting runs quick enough at the top of the order. Then all of a sudden yesterday something clicked. So it is a bit of a patience game, but you can't wait too long, because, you know, you might get left behind. And that's where the Sunrisers are probably at this moment in time, along with Kings of Punjab.
It is the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. We're here each Monday to bring you all of the stories, and you can always listen again on the podcast if you miss out or just want to listen back and have another go. Between now and 2 o'clock, you'll be hearing from Joss Butler. He's been speaking with our reporter, Scott Taylor, the Rajasthan and England keeper batsman. Coming next, though, we're going to be talking spin with Pragan Oja, the former India, a Mumbai Indian spinner, about how spin is playing such a significant part in this year's tournament. This is TalkSport 2.
Oh, that's a miscue. It's in the air. Rashid wants it, and he's taken it.
Yeah.
Oh, has he got it? Has he got it? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. The RCB are on fire here.
Mishra continues. And he should have a wicket. Yeah, wicket keeper. Punt is under it and takes it comfortably.
It's been a heck of a time for spinners in the IPL over the last few days, and there's been some really good bowling at the moment. Indeed, if you look at the top wicket takers in the tournament, surprise, surprise, Yuzvendra Chahal is top of the shop. Now, he, along with Kagiso Rabada, Trent Bolt and Mohammad Shami, have 8 wickets apiece, but it is Yuzvendra Chahal's average. He's taking them at 14.37. Rabada is at 15.75. Bolt is at 19.62. Shami, 19.12. So Yuzvendra Chahal leading the way. Also in there, PS Chawla's taken 6 so far. Rashid Khan has 5. Spinners are playing a significant part in this year's tournament. Delighted to say that Pragyan Oja, the former Mumbai Indians and Indian spinner, is joining us here on the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. Pragyan, thank you very much for joining us. What have you made of the spinners' performances in this year's tournament?
Thanks, guys, for having me over. First of all, I think whenever you're playing on Indian soil or in subcontinent, you need spinners. And if you have quality spinners, which nowadays a lot of teams they're lacking, they are like pure gold for your team. You know, you see Yuzvendra Chahal, you see Amit Mishra, they do really well. I think they really change the game in the middle overs. That's when, you know, you normally see a lot of partnerships coming up. And if you have good spinners and they pick wickets, that's when, you know, you really stop best of the teams.
I mean, the RCB actually bowled 12 of their 20 overs against Rajasthan with spin, more than 50% of the game. We normally see spin, but maybe not to that degree.
But I feel that's a new strategy. Why not? Why only fast bowlers bowl more overs than spinners? Why not spinners? If they're succeeding and they are achieving their goals, why not have 12 overs or more overs from spinners? As long as you're doing well, you're winning games, I'm happy to go with spinners.
Pragyan, how do you see the change of venues? You know, not playing obviously in India, you know, especially someone like Sharjah who wears very, very small. What's the sort of key for a spinner? Is it just about holding their nerve, back in their decision making?
I think playing in Sharjah, the batsman is under pressure because he has to get those runs. Everybody expects the batsman to do well. Nobody expects the bowlers to do well. And for spinners, everybody, like you, like me, everybody talks that, you know, spinners are going to be expensive. So there is no pressure. You know that if you go 10 and over, it will not be a problem for you. But as long as you're picking wickets, that is more important. Once you pick wickets on small venues, like shorter boundaries, wherever you're playing, that's when you contribute to your team's cause. I just take it in the other way. You know, spinners, if bowlers know that, you know, those wickets are good and the boundary lines are small, you know, boundary is very small when you talk about Sharjah, then the pressure is on the batsman to deliver, not the bowler.
Just on that, one thing we have seen, Pragyan, and particularly someone like PS Chawla, if he does get hit the distance, the next ball, generally speaking, is slower, and maybe there's a bit more loop on it. So many bowlers, so many young spinners, if they get hit for a boundary, the next ball is darted in, fired in low and quick, yet Chawla seems to go slower and more loopy, and actually he does seem to get good success. Is that maybe the way to go, or is it too conservative now with spinners?
Yeah, there is a theory to it. You know, Chawla, Amit Mishra, Yuzvendra Chahal, they are experienced bowlers. They have been successful for their national team. They have done well in IPL. When you talk about Chawla and Amit Mishra, they are the leading wicket takers in the entire IPL. If you see in all these 13 years, they are the leading wicket takers. So when they are bowling, they mix the pace. And when you're mixing the pace, you know, when you try and flight the ball or try and give a lot of revolution to the ball, it's very difficult for a batsman to hit the ball because, you know, you don't get that free flowing of your bat. You know, once you don't get a free flow of your, if you don't get a good swing to your bat flow, then, you know, you don't get the power to hit the distance. So as a spinner, you should always think to make sure the batsman doesn't get that good swing when you're bowling. And as long as the batsman is not getting a good swing, I'm very sure it can be Chris Gayle, it can be most powerful man on earth. If they don't get the swing right, they're not going to go distance.
Pragan, just in that we're now completed 2 weeks, and eight of the 10 bowlers in who've taken the most wickets are seamers. Do you think that spin will get more and more significant in this tournament? Because with only three venues, the pitches surely have to get more and more worn as we go through these matches. Do you see spin, therefore, as the competition goes on, will become more and more important each week?
Definitely, yes. That goes without saying. You know, when you're playing in only three venues and you've got like so many matches, this tournament is like almost 50-55 days long. And when you play on those wickets regularly, you know, there will be wear and tear. There will be something for the spinners. So everybody is planning for the second half. They want their spinners to be ready. Unfortunately, we just got news about Amit Mishra getting injured and he's just out of IPL. And it's a big blow for Delhi Capitals because, you know, the whole team was depending on him. I think it's a big blow for Ricky Ponting.
Pragan, just away from the IPL, when you talk, you know, possibly England playing in these three venues in the turn of the new year, do you see spin being a big part of India's national team attack when it comes to taking England on potentially, what is it, 10 test matches in the next calendar year?
Yeah, I think spinners are the soul of Indian cricket. You know, we see Ravi Ashwin, we see Ravindra Jadeja, we've seen young players coming up. So India always depends on the spinners, you know, let it be subcontinent, let it be overseas, they depend on spinners. And when you talk about England and, you know, I've played for Surrey, you know, the ball drifts, you know, when you bowl with Dukes, the ball drifts because of the conditions there. And when they come to India, England come to India, I think the wickets are going to favour the spinners. It's always been the case. So, and we've got some good experienced bowlers. So I think it'll be a good batting lineup of England versus the spinners.
Pragan, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Pragan Ojha, the former Mumbai Indians and India spinner, and he is absolutely right. A statement from the Delhi Capitals issued in the last few minutes has announced that Amit Mishra has been ruled out for the remainder of the tournament. He has sustained a flexor tendon injury to the ring finger of his bowling hand. He was attempting to take a return catch off of his own bowling in the game against the Knight Riders on Friday. He's now going to see a specialist over the next few days to determine the appropriate course of management for the injury. As they always say, Harmy, if you don't take them off your own bowling, no one else will do it for you.
Definitely. And the easiest ones, the hardest ones sometimes, the ones that come straight back at you and you haven't got time to think. But it's a massive blow, that, for Delhi, because when you look at... I love Delhi. I've, from day one, I've thought Delhi... fantastic youthful side, but when you do look at their bowling lineup, their experience is in their bowler, in the two South African overseas players in Rabada and Nokia Stoinis, who's experienced 2020 player, and so is Amit Mishra. He is huge for them, and that's a massive, massive loss. Axar Patel could come in as their left arm spin, who actually came on and fielded for Mishra in the last game, but it is a big blow for the Capitals.
Well, the Cricket Collective is here on a Tuesday. It's 6 o'clock this week. It features an exclusive interview with the Essex great Ryan Tendiscarta. Over the course of the show, he's going to be discussing winning silverware with Essex, his astonishing numbers in international cricket, and the special relationship he has with T20.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have come at a better time for me. You know, when I started my career, coincided with T20 launching. I think it was my first year at Essex was the first T20 competition in England. And, you know, I can't think of a player who it was more suited to at the time. You know, someone very unconventional. You know, I've said before, the euphemism was he hits the ball in strange places, you know, which is great. It was different. And back then, guys didn't used to, you know, sit back and bang it out the park. It was rare to have a strike rate of 150 and to be able to, you know, come in and whack the ball. So it couldn't have worked any better for me. And probably where the bulk of my sort of traction as a cricketer on the biggest stage has come, you know, being in the IPL, having a chance to play in Australia, you know, finishing off at Nelson Mandela Bay Giants last year was... I felt like the perfect treat, you know, going back to Port Elizabeth where it all started, where all my dreams started, to play a few games there at the back end of the Mzansi. And yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed T20 cricket. I liked it more when not everyone was banging it out of the park. But, you know, you rock up now to nets and every trialist plays a sweep against the seamers and plays a reverse sweep against medium paces and, you know, can sit back in the crease and whack a length ball over extra cover. So the game has changed a lot, and I think I was lucky in the sense that my skill set was set up for that, you know, before it was popular and before everyone was doing it.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, you can hear more from Essex's Ryan Tendiscarta on the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock. Of course, he's just extended his stay with Essex to just go a little bit longer. It's the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. Steve Harmison and myself, Andrew McKenna, with you for another half an hour. We'll be looking at the English contingent next here on TalkSport 2.
The change of pace, and it's disappeared. Archer,
so good first boundary of the contest to Jos Buttler.
Chadir and taken. Bairstow's walking back,
and he's just smoked it. The first ball that he's faced.
A please short slick this, Morgan.
Gave himself far too much room. That's smart from Jofra Archer.
But if you get it wrong, it can go really wrong. Rabada has been hit for three sixes in a row. And Morgan is now saying, somebody stop me.
Very good afternoon to you. It's the IPL show. I'm Andrew McKenna. Steve Harmison, the former England fast bowler, is with me as well. And for the next few minutes, we're going to concentrate on the English players who are in action. And Harmy, I'd like to start talking about the England captain, because Owen Morgan once again. Do you know what? It seems stupid. I'm going to say this about a World Cup winning captain, but I don't think people realise how good Owen Morgan is. He is just an incredible player. 44 off 18 balls for the KKR in their defeat to the Delhi Capitals. But it was a game that looked like it was beyond KKR, but Owen Morgan just wandered out to the middle and was pinging it to all parts. It was incredible to watch.
It was. He was playing batted beautifully. And to be fair to Owen Morgan, it's probably the best form he's been in going into an IPL tournament. If you think in times gone past, he hasn't sort of set the IPL world alight. And normally that's off the back of maybe he's having a long break before playing, having any cricket going into it. He's actually played quite a bit of cricket going into the IPL. And when you look at what Chennai did with Sam Curran, what Dhoni did after, you know, the first two or three games, bat him higher up the order, give him more responsibility because he said he's played a lot of cricket where others haven't. KKR have gone the other way. Owen Morgan's batting at number six. And for me, I can't. But he's normally bats at five. I think Russell went in ahead of him. But I just don't understand how you can have Owen Morgan batting that low in a lineup, especially the way he's playing at the moment, because, you know, he seems to be on fire. If I was KKR, I'd be looking at Morgan batting no lower than four and trying to get him out there as quick as I possibly can, because he is, when he is in form, which he is now, he hits the ball all round the ground and he hits it with ease. And what, 2 or 3 foot either way of Hetmyer, and he would have had six. That would have got him to 50. I think they would have needed 22, I think, off the last sort of 10 balls. You'd have backed Owen Morgan to get somewhere close. So from a game which was dead and buried, with five overs to go, it just shows you what can happen in these small grounds. And it was a fantastic knock by the England captain.
Absolutely. He went in for the fifth ball of the 13th over. That was when the fourth wicket went down. That batting order, to me, by the way, doesn't look right. Got no issue with Shubman Gill at the top. Sunil Narain, as we just mentioned when we were talking about spin, that actually, at the moment, the seamers are doing the job. Sunil Narain doesn't know which way he's going when it's fast and short. I mean, Nokia nearly took his head off.
Yeah.
That to me looks like a waste of a wicket. And sending Andre Russell in at four looks too high when you've got Morgan. Russell should be going in behind Morgan.
Yeah, Russell should be going in behind Morgan. I think Dinesh Kartik should be going in behind Owen Morgan. And Sunil Narain will come off every now and again if you bring a spinner on or whatever. I could not stop laughing. And I hate saying it, but I honestly could not stop laughing. He was absolutely petrified. You've seen the whites of his eyes. He had gone. He had lost it. And that's what bowlers do. If I was number 11, I'd go out there opening a batting against Henrik Nokia, bowling 140-odd kilometres an hour with a brand-new white kookaburra. He sends one round my nose. I know where I'm going. I'm going leg side. Sunil Narain did not want anywhere near to be anywhere near that middle of that pitch when Henrik Nokia was running in. And there's times, sometimes, you know, you have to look and think, is this a good idea? Is it not? It's worked for them in the past. I'm sure it probably worked for them again. But I couldn't stop laughing. As a fast bowler, I was like, yes, go on. Just Rabada or Nokia, just, you know, stick one round his nose, potentially give him another one round his nose. And if you're not seeing all three stumps, then, you know, I'd be very, very surprised. And that's what happened. And to be fair, again, I've been so impressed by the Delhi bowling unit, and again the hit the straps running. But for me, Kartik, one too high of a place. Russell, one too high of a place. You look at someone like Andre Russell going in at number four. There's a reason why Mumbai are top of the table at this moment in time, because the biggest strike rate, the best guy at the end, backed at number six, and that's Kieran Pollard. Not too dissimilar to Andrew Russell, and I think that's a perfect place for Pollard and for Russell, and it's not the perfect place for England captain in Owen Morgan.
Well, we've had our say on where Owen Morgan should bat. The man himself was asked, should he be further up the order for the KKR?
No, I don't think so. I think when you look at our batting lineup, we have a number of match winners in that lineup. So it's a very difficult one to sort of get up the order, particularly when you've a world-class batsman all-rounder in Andre Russell. He's an incredible striker of the ball. When he comes up the order, obviously everybody shifts down a little bit. So giving the context of the game, I think we went from a position and probably being behind the eight ball a little bit because Delhi bowled well, to a position of strength and looking like we were going to win it. But however, it wasn't meant to be tonight.
Steve Harmison, Owen Morgan is one of the nicest men on the planet and would not rock a boat the size of the Titanic. I put it to you, he is merely being very polite and very political there. He knows he should be further up that order.
Yeah, Owen's telling porky pies there. I think he's telling porkies there. He's not. He shouldn't be batting that low. He knows that he shouldn't be batting that low. I agree. He has to play the party line, and he has to, you know, toe the line, especially when they've just getting beat. But I'd throw this one out there. Should Owen Morgan be captain of KKR? Probably, yes. If he's captain, Owen Morgan bats four. Owen Morgan does not bat six if he's captain of KKR, because when he goes in there, if I'm captain of this team, I'm batting where I want, and I'm batting at number four in this team. Andre Russell, you bat at number six. Dinesh Kartik, you bat at number five. This is how this team is going to play. And I think that's the difference between an Indian captain and an overseas captain. The Indian captain is batting where he wants to bat. In Dinesh Kartik, he probably bat four, he probably bat five, depending on whether the throw around Andre Russell. But I think Owen Morgan was telling porky pies there, because I think when he was walking off head down the other day against Delhi, he was thinking, if I'd gone in 10 balls, 20, 15 balls earlier, we got a good chance of winning this game.
So let's have a look at some of the others. Sam Curran, 0 for 31 and 0 for 42 off three overs for Chris Jordan in the CSK against the Kings 11 game. Joss Butler still hasn't exactly hit his straps. I know he's playing a role for the team. He got 22 off of 12 in the defeat to RCB, but that's now three matches for 47 runs. Jofra Archer, 16 not out and 1 for 18 in four overs. I think we'd have to say at the moment that Jofra Archer is, well, not even probably, but the standout performer of the English players at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, not just the English players. I think he's a standout performer in the whole tournament. I think he's bowled brilliantly. He's batted fantastically well as well. He's got some valuable runs down the order. He seems to like franchise cricket. When we spoke last week, talking to Julian Wood, we talked about freeing up and not as much pressure and not the big fish in the pond. He's got a sort of, he's allowed to sort of breathe, if you want, rather than being in the goldfish bowl of the English press, England media, and everybody wanting Jofra to be this 95 mile an hour bowler every single ball. He seems to like this franchise cricket, so, which is good, because, you know, just as we talked to Pregan now about you know, what potentially could England could come in the future, they're probably going to play on these sort of pitches. So it's good that Archer is doing well. I think Joss Butler's not far, a bit like Johnny Bairstow, away from a score. 22 off 12 balls. He looked in good shape. His timing was good. His touch was very, very good. His head position when he was hitting the ball was what you want from what I would imagine Joss Butler will be saying. Yeah, I'm in not bad touch here. I'm getting better. He got a catch. He got caught off a slip, where you think on another day they might not have had a slip and that would have gone for four. So I think his day is to come. Like we mentioned, Bairstow looks in. He's not far away. I think Sam Curran's doing well. I'm enjoying Sam Curran. Chris Jordan, you mentioned Kings 11. They're tinkering with what the best formula is at this moment in time. So I think all in all, I'm really pleased that how the England players are performing. And Long may it continue. You know, Owen Morgan get up the order. Johnny Bairstow 100 round the corner along with Josh Butler. And fingers crossed we see, you know, the big all-rounder in Stokes very, very soon. And when we do see like that and them going well, then fingers crossed for the English contingent having a very, very good IPL.
I want to touch on Stokes in a few minutes' time. But coming next, we're going to be hearing from Josh Butler. We've just been talking about his performances in the tournament. Well, he's been speaking with our reporter, Scott Taylor. You will hear that next here on the IPL show on TalkSport 2.
Staying once again, Bowles.
Oh, punched away by Butler for four through square leg. Outrageous.
Josh is a wonderful, wonderful T20 player. Probably top 10 in the world.
Pulled out towards deep mid-wicket for four. Just makes it look so easy. Josh Butler.
Oh, that's an extraordinary shot. Josh Butler has just chipped down and drop-kicked the ball 10 rows back over mid-on for six.
Josh Butler, the man, the machine. He's been so good in white ball cricket, both in England and around the world. He's on IPL duty with the Rajasthan Royals, and he's been sitting down and having a chat with our Scott Taylor.
You're looking at the game against Kolkata, and they asked about it earlier, with Morgan batting, yourself keeping, Jofra bowling. Now, given there's two IPLs, this one and the next one, before the next World Cup in India, how much of an advantage is that, that there's so many English players playing in this competition?
Yeah, I think it's a really big advantage. I think we've really reaped the rewards of more of our players being exposed to franchise tournaments. I know that's been talked about quite a lot off the back of the World Cup, that the exposure to the IPL, the Big Bash, the Pakistan Super League, our players going away and performing in those tournaments in high-pressure situations, you know, not only benefits the individual, but obviously benefits the England team when they come back to playing in that side. So, you know, the wealth of experience that everyone can then bring back to our own team as well as an England side is obviously magnified. And I think, you know, when you're performing in these tournaments, it gives you a lot of confidence. So, you know, I think it's a really good feather in the cap of English cricket as well to see that English cricketers are in demand to play in the world's premier T20 tournament. I think that shows the improvements we've made and how we are developing fantastic T20 and white ball cricketers. So long may that continue.
I want to touch on what the guys said earlier about Jofra. He's essentially hit six every other ball so far in this IPL, which is ridiculous when you think about it. And there has been some suggestions that he's a lot more laid back in franchise cricket. I know he's a laid back character anyway, but do you see that? Do you feel like he's more relaxed? There's less pressure on him in franchise cricket?
I'd say the same for everybody though, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him to perform because he's one of the stars of the tournament. He's one of the stars of our team. There's a monetary pressure as well of the IPL. Everyone knows how much money someone like Jofra has gone for, and the owners who pay that money expect a certain level of performance. So there's certainly high pressure. But I think T20 cricket, you know, not just for Jofra but for all of us, is a lot of fun. It allows you to go and express yourself without much fear of failure. You know, the odds are a lot of the time in your favour in certain situations as well, and it allows you to play with a lot of freedom. So I don't think it's just Jofra it suits. I think it suits a number of players.
Just on Tom Curran, 50 against Kolkata yesterday as well. And how much confidence will that give him? Because it's been a good couple of days for Tom getting his white ball contract as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, he's just gets better and better. He's a great competitor. I think the more opportunities he's had with the bat, he's started to show, you know, I said earlier, his improvements. But he's actually, to be fair to him, probably just shown what he's capable of with more opportunities. So that he's been playing well for a while. And I'd say him and Sam are just great competitors. They're two guys you always want in your side. They always want the ball. They always want a bat. So they're fantastic lads. And yeah, it's been a great couple of days for Tom with his central contract and some really good performances for the Royals.
Just finally from me, you mentioned the central contacts there. Johnny obviously not getting a test one this year. Have you, I'm not sure what your limitations are in the bubble, but have you spoken to Johnny? And as a fellow wicketkeeper yourself, how much sympathy do you feel for him?
Yeah, everyone's sort of training at the same place at the minute, if you're staying in Dubai. So I saw Johnny and saw Trevor Bayliss the other day as well, which was nice. And yeah, I'm sure Johnny will be disappointed. He's been a fantastic cricketer for England in all formats over the last few years. And as we all know with Johnny, when he's wants to prove a point, or to be fair, he's just a brilliant cricketer. So I'm sure he'll have lots of desire to get back in the test team, and that's, you know, as we all should, really, as every wicketkeeper batsman in the country, their desire should be to be the wicketkeeper for England, and Johnny's no different. He's a brilliant cricketer, so sure he'll be disappointed, but he's a brilliant player, and I'm sure he'll continue to show that.
Joss Butler speaking with our reporter, Scott Taylor. Just on Johnny Bairstow, Steve Harmison, my mind immediately goes back to the Colombo Test match in Sri Lanka, where he made that brilliant 100, and the guttural scream that came out of him as he got there, the release of pressure. For whatever reason, Johnny Bairstow is a better player when he feels he's got a point to prove, when he feels that there's something to rail against. So I don't think for any way, shape or form we've seen the last of Johnny Bairstow.
No, definitely not. I don't think Johnny will allow himself to do that. I think his natural instinct is to come out and fight. And I think Johnny will come out and fight. Maybe the selectors have looked at it that way and thought, well, how do we get the best out of Johnny? Do we try and challenge him? By doing this, they are challenging whether he has got the desire, the fight, and the application to come back hard. And I think Johnny, he has, like I said before, I don't think he's far away from making a big score in this IPL. With the way England potentially could be playing over the winter, he does play on small grounds. He does hit the ball. You know, he does hit the ball, you know, 360 degrees. So there is a potential for him to come back into the Red Bull game. But if you're asking me if Johnny Bairstow is finished as a Red Bull cricketer, I would say absolutely not. I think Johnny Bairstow will fight like anything, not only to get his place back, but to just put a little bit of a spanner in the work for the selectors when they're selecting the overseas touring sides in the subcontinent this winter.
Now, we just heard from Joss Butler, and it would seem that he's going to be playing at Rajasthan alongside of Ben Stokes in the near future. The word is that Ben Stokes has now travelled from New Zealand. He was due to be landing in Dubai yesterday morning. Now, for anyone who's not aware, the IPL COVID protocols means he now has to do a 6-day quarantine period. And in that time, he also has to come through 3 tests negative. Once that's happened, he is then available for selection. It's obviously been a really difficult time for him, Harmy, in New Zealand. We all know that the family reasons that he's been there, but it appears that he is now ready to start playing cricket again.
Yeah, and it's good news for Rajasthan. It's good news for English cricket supporters. It's good news for Ben and the Stokes family, because it means the big fella Jed must be, you know, on the mend and improved and in good spirits if Ben's decided to go over and play some cricket in India. So I think it's fantastic news all round. And again, it's another English high-profile player playing in conditions which is getting, you know, maximum audience, but also good preparation for what potentially is to come for England when the turn of the year. So it'll be good to see him back in a game. He'll probably miss the next 2 games. They play Mumbai and then they play Delhi. I don't think he'll be out of quarantine by Delhi, but he should be ready for, you know, the 7th game of the tournament against the Sunrisers in Dubai. So, you know, fingers crossed he hits the ground running. And unfortunately, for someone like Tom Curran, it could be Tom Curran who sadly misses out from an English point of view. It's sadly, but you know what an option the Rajasthan Royals have got to bring in probably the best all-rounder in the world at this moment in time.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I don't want to sort of, because it is such a serious family issue, whatever, but do you get the impression that maybe the Royals were getting to the stage of almost saying, look, we want you to be here, but if you're not going to be here, is it time that we cut our losses? And, you know, we are a team that's fifth in the table at the moment. We, you know, we want to be in this to win this. Do you think they were getting close to the stage of saying, look, we might need to look elsewhere if this isn't going to happen shortly?
Yeah, possibly, Macca. But I think when you've got somebody like Ben Stokes at your disposal and you could even potentially only have him for four games at the end, I still think you take that risk. I really do. I think you keep him up your sleeve and you think, well, monitor the situation arguably on a daily basis and think, if he has to quarantine for 6 days and he only plays the last four games, he's a game changer, and all of a sudden that could be the little push to get us from sort of fifth into fourth into a semi-final spot. And then you know what Ben does on the big occasion. So as much as there probably were thinking, well, we've got some money to play with because obviously Ben's not there, so you'll not be getting his full pay. Do we gamble? Do we go for somebody else? Or do we bank on the fact that he is going to play at some part in this tournament? And it's like having a centre forward in football who's injured, and you think, well, do I play him? Do I not? I'm sure Gareth Southgate had that with Harry Kane after the back end of last season. You don't mess around when you've got superstars. You try and get them as much time as possible, and I think that's probably the best thing for Rajasthan, because no doubt Ben Stokes in your team, not only does it give a fear factor to the opposition because they're looking across and seeing Stokes on the team sheet, when he goes out, big occasion, semi-final, final, he's done it. Go back 12 months to England winning the World Cup, Ashes in it, Headingley, big occasions, he needs the big limelight and he delivers. And that's why, from a Rajasthan point of view, I'd give him as much time as I possibly could.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.